Greetings to all, and welcome, or welcome back, to International Detective Dragons from Outer Space. This is installment number 8, and in it we are going to take a vacation from anything important. Farewell to care. It's not going to be a lengthy episode. And I do apologize for the lateness of its release, but I have not been on top of the weather. I have not been running alongside the weather. I have been under the weather. And it continues. But what we'll have for this podcast is a collection, an edited collection of answers to the question that I posed in the schnotes from episode 2 of International Detective Dragons from Outer Space. Who is your most detested character in a book, in movies, or in a television series? If you could, well, it opens with a question, so that makes it pretty clear. So I'm going to be quiet now and jump right into it.
Good morning. This is a digital recorder.
It's a stunner.
No, it's not a stunner. It's a digital recorder.
Just practicing.
I need to ask you a question.
What?
If you could send the fiction assassins,
yes,
the fiction ninjas,
yes,
the takeout squad,
ooh,
after any fictional character in any book, film, or television series that you recall, which annoying character or characters would you send them after? In other words, someone you wish had never been written into the show, book, or film.
Well, Gilligan of Gilligan's Island springs to mind.
Okay.
But books, ooh. Oh, that's such a stumper.
Not an easy question, I'll admit.
That's a hard one. Who did you come up with? Who is your primo numero uno irritating character?
The two, I came up with two.
Yeah.
Dr. Smith from Lost in Space.
Okay.
And Frank Burns from MASH.
Really? Poor Frank Burns.
Poor Frank Burns?
Well, you know, somebody's got to be the nudge of the universe, and just happened to be him. Poor Frank Burns.
The tough part is finding an emotional impact that a character had on you where you'd think to yourself, this would have been so much better if they hadn't written in or whatever, drawn in.
Mm-hmm.
Can even be a cartoon. It's like, I'd like to see a lawnmower taken to all of Josie and the Pussycats.
I could live without the Robert Shaw character in Jaws. Ooh, there you go. That's a...
The crazy old sea captain?
Yeah, the crazy old sea captain. But I'm going to really have to spend some time on this.
It's a tough question.
You don't think Radar O'Reilly deserved, like, after season 15 or whatever it was, didn't need the big old, you know, 3,000-pound weight dropping on his head for being so pitifully cute after 15 frickin' years or something?
It was 11 years.
It felt like more.
SpongeBob SquarePants would be the person who would definitely have to go. Method? Probably dry up.
All right. Fair enough.
Anything that will cause silence would be wonderful.
Thank you. Come up with any others, I'll be back.
I'll do my best.
I'm sorry, say again?
The entire A-team. I'd like to watch them taken out with blowtorches.
Blow torches.
Yeah. I think that'd be good for the A-team.
Slow and agonizing.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's what the A-team needs.
Okay.
I never watched the A-Team.
I will see if you did, you'd agree with me.
I probably would. There's probably a reason I didn't watch the A-Team. That counts. The entire A-Team counts.
Okay, good.
That little stupid rabbit in Alice in Wonderland?
The one that goes down the rabbit hole?
Yeah.
That's pretty classic. Why do you hate that character so much?
Because it's stupid and I want to punch it in the face.
Oh, the her. Beverly Hillbillies, the banker's assistant secretary, whoever she was.
Yeah.
What's her name?
Mrs.
No, she was Miss.
Dreyfus,
but I don't know if that's right.
Miss. Dreyfus was the banker.
No.
Mr. Drysdale was the banker.
And she was an incredibly obnoxious character. Whatever her name was.
The Beverly Hillbillies, banker's secretary.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to single someone out on the Beverly Hillbillies, but I'd have to go with her.
And you didn't like her specifically?
I didn't like her specifically.
You thought she was too stuck up?
She was stuck up. She was not a good representative of the females of the species. No, I didn't like her.
It's Jane Hathaway.
Jane Hathaway. Somebody else came up with Miss
Jane Hathaway.
Miss Jane Hathaway.
Miss Jane Hathaway.
And he didn't have to Google it.
He didn't have to Google it.
I was impressed.
Jane Hathaway. That is absolutely correct.
Was I being recorded?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I sound like a rabid hamster. You don't want to record me.
Rabid hamster?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I like it. All right, we'll come back to this question.
Okay.
You enjoyed the character of Dr. Smith?
Yes.
On purpose?
Just naturally.
I'm gonna
get by my water. Again, I want to meet Dracula, the Prince of Darkness. I've already met Phil, the Clown Prince of Diminished Light. So.
All right. Thank you.
Friends. Not right. Friends. Seinfeld. Ooh, that's a Freudian slip. Actually, Friends is just as annoying as Seinfeld. The entire cast, like the ensemble cast, the whole cast, and irritates me.
Everyone.
Everyone. Both shows. Although my initial thought was Seinfeld. But Friends is just as annoying. But everyone on Seinfeld.
And you're not particular as to how it's done?
I haven't thought about how it would be done. I mean, poetic justice for both of them would be, you know, push them under a subway, because they're both taking place in New York.
Okay.
But I could come up with something else. Give me some time.
That's fine. But is there any particular reason why? I didn't watch Seinfeld either.
They're just such irritating characters. They talk about such mundane, stupid things, which I know is the, you know, whole premise of that show. Actually, kind of both of them. But they're just irritating people. Especially Julia Louis-Dreyfus, who now unfortunately has another show. So you could take her character from the new show and push her under a bus too.
You know, well, like there's, what, Frank, was it Goshen? He was the Riddler on the...
Oh, Frank Gorshin.
Gorshin, the Riddler from Batman.
Okay.
Riddler?
The Riddler.
The Riddler.
No.
Fall off the Riddler.
No, the Riddler's got to go.
He's very bold in his little wee jumpsuit with the big little question mark on
that it. That actor just annoyed the crap out of me.
Leave the Riddler alone.
He was on a Star Trek episode, too. He played one of the aliens that had a... half white and a half black face.
Yes. And that character was annoying, too.
It's a tough one, ain't it?
It is a tough one. Usually if I get well enough into a book that I'm not liking it or its character, I just get the book.
I suppose a lot of it has to do with emotional impact.
Yeah. Usually they're the whiny pain in the ass characters. There's always some of those stuck in somewhere. Yeah, somebody who, but don't even make the plot move forward or add a layer of interest. You know, ones that are completely a waste of space. I'm having trouble thinking of examples.
You mean like Dr. Smith?
Yeah, but he acts as a foil for some of the other characters so that you can...
He makes them look more noble by being...
Right. Yeah, I mean... Honestly, going way back here, the second trilogy of the White Gold Builder series was unbearable to read. And part of it was, I believe the woman they had as the lead character was completely... Thomas Covenant as the anti-hero.
Right. I couldn't come up with the name.
Right. As the, he is the archetypal anti-hero in the first series. You know, I can't do it, I don't know what I'm doing, was an interesting take, at least for, I was reading these in junior high.
It's a change of pace for fantasy.
Yes, it was a change of pace for fantasy, and it was one of the first fantasy series I ever got into.
So Thomas Covenant or the woman?
The woman in the second series.
Okay.
Actually, Kramer you could spare. I liked Kramer. But the rest of them, push him under a subway.
I pardon that man's life.
I graciously give you your life. Now go.
Okay. Thank you.
The middle, the red-headed little kid on the Partridge Family, Danny Bonaduce played him. Yeah.
Danny Partridge.
Danny Partridge.
Okay.
He was a ugly, bug-eyed, stupid little kid character. And the Partridge Family is bad enough, but he was the worst. Yes, I think the assassins could go after Danny Partridge.
Cutesy girls like, oh, what was that horrible thing?
Facts of Life?
Yeah, oh, yes! Yes! Oh!
Joe! Joe from Facts of Life.
Into a garbage disposal because a wood chipper would be too merciful. So bits at a time into the garbage disposal.
Oh, God!
The characters, not the actors.
Right, all right. You know. Okay, Facts of Life.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's just horrible.
You know what came to mind when you even just started saying that? Lawrence of Arabia.
Lawrence of Arabia?
Uh-huh.
You didn't like him?
No, it doesn't have anything to do with liking or disliking. I'm just terrorist.
Yeah, it's certainly dramatic. It would be pretty, you know, out there in the desert.
Omar Sharif? You give me your answer to the question.
Dr. Smith from Lost in Space.
Oh, okay.
Courtship of Eddie's father, that Eddie needs to go.
But not Mrs. What's-her-head.
Eddie Haskell, Leave it to Beaver, that Eddie needs to go to.
Okay.
This
is good.
let me think. What else did I come up with?
I have a TV character that I hate as well that, you know, others might not agree with, but she was so awful. Amanda Woodward.
Amanda Woodward?
Mm-hmm. Heather Locklear played that character in Melrose Place.
Okay.
She is slamming Heather?
Well, if we still don't have enough, the Ewoks can go.
Star Wars can go
on the list.
Okay.
The fuzzy little,
The marketing ploy?
Yeah, the marketing aliens.
Okay.
Yeah.
That counts.
Yes. There must be aliens that look like teddy bears.
Fictional character. Anne Rice. Interview with a Vampire. The first one. Whatever that name of the first vampire is. Such the freaking whiner, just pull his little head off. No, not Lestat. No, Vampire Lestat. That one, okay. Pretty interesting. But then I tried to go back after I read that one, which was the second one, right? So I tried to go back and read Interview with Vampires, like Charles or something like that.
That's Bluey.
Whatever his name is. Biggest freaking diphead whiner in the whole wide world. Snivel, snivel, snivel. Boring. Gone.
More than Hamlet?
Oh, makes Hamlet look like fantastic entertainment. No, it was so bad. He was such a sniveling whiner. I read 1.5 pages and threw the book against a wall. And that was the end of Interview with the Vampire.
Well, I was just comparing, you know, in terms of a whiner.
Oh, I thought somebody had singled out him.
Oh, no. He's just, oh, poor me. Oh, I'm a vampire. Oh, well, I didn't ever want to be. Oh, it's so boring. Oh, nobody loves me. Shut up. That's all I have to say.
Oh,
I've been wanting to say that a long time.
I would like David Carradine to be destroyed by...
Probably by Bruce Lee.
No. This is who would you kill?
Who would I kill?
No, David Carradine. Who would you kill?
Oh, David Carradine in Kung Fu. What has he
done? All right.
You know,
Kung Fu.
Playing Kung Fu, playing an Asian, and playing it badly.
Oh, an Asian.
Thank you. That's very helpful.
Good. Destroy him now.
Destroy him now.
Oh, what was his name? Emergency. It was the guy that was part Indian. John Gage was the character's name. The Manhunt.
Mantooth.
Michael Mantooth. Yeah. That guy needs to go, too.
Okay.
Whoever the Steve Lord character in him was Hawaii 5-0, he could go on the list.
Jack Lord,
yeah.
Hawaii 5-0?
Yeah, I don't remember the character's name. He was obnoxious.
Well, he produced the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, starring me.
I only watched it for Book'em Dana.
You have to pick a particular Power Ranger.
Oh, Power Rangers. Yes. Oh, put the Power Rangers down for death.
They're good. Yeah.
Okay.
Please.
Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Yes.
All doesn't matter what color?
Any color. Pink especially.
Doesn't matter what color, but I didn't watch them enough to
kill the pink ones.
Luckily, they
I didn't watch them either, but, you know, I caught them in various babysitting venues and that sort of thing. It was like,
Is it all blowtorches or just the A-Team?
No, the A-Team definitely blowtorches. The Eddies, I think the Eddies should be carried off by a pack of dogs. You know, there's dogs in Australia, what are they called?
Dingoes?
Dingoes, yes.
Okay.
Those two Eddies should be carried away by dingoes. let me see. The Riddler and Mantooth. Let me see. How would I get rid of the Riddler and Mantooth?
She recommended that all the facts of life girls be done away with a garbage disposal.
Oh, wow, that's pretty terrible.
That's pretty gruesome.
That's pretty terrible. Although it would be nice for John Gage to maybe be run over by his rig, or maybe tied between two rigs and ripped in half.
Oh, man.
That might be good.
Oh, man.
And the Riddler, I don't know, maybe, turned into candle, like dipped in wax until he's a candle. Oh, might be good. They did that kind of thing on that show, didn't they?
Okay, you're starting to scare me now. Hi, okay, that's priceless. Very good. Thank you.
That works for you?
That was very rich. That had depth.
Ah! No! No! Any book, and I'm sorry if this offends, but any book by freaking Elf Gallstones of Shannara. Gone, gone, gone. All of them gone. Terry Brooks, Mr. Lord of the Rings ripoff guy. No, gone. I might have felt differently if I read his books before Lord of the Rings, but I didn't, and so he's gone. It was just, I don't know how the Tolkien estate didn't manage to sue. That's all I wonder about. But every single one of them gone.
Well, quite a few have jumped on the bandwagon before Terry Brooks.
Don't you defend him?
I tell you though, the more he has latched onto this and has found it to be a very cathartic experience. the more she remembers, it's almost like an opportunity to purge those awful things from your subconscious.
That could be. I'm really kind of deciding what it says about me culturally that all I'm coming up with is television shows from the 70s.
Yeah, it's not like I'd like to get rid of Javert from Les Miserables. Okay, like that's to, very classy.
I'd like to get rid of that mean old lady in The Tale of Two Cities or whichever one it is. So, Great Expectations, that one.
That French
Ms.
thing.
Ms. Haversham, her.
It's
not really where my brain goes.
Oh, they don't have the emotional impact.
It goes to Jane Hathaway.
Yeah, that was... It's understandable. It's just an odd thing to hit on.
I don't know, and it's where I went first. I just sort of ticked my way through bad Beverly Hillbillies character. I decided she was... I don't know, I think she used to annoy the shit out of me even more than the rest of them because she was such a snob... And she was such a complete female suck-up to the male boss that even as a child, she irritated me as a woman.
See, who's next on the list? What's his name? The other kung fu fighter who's in the Bruce Lee movies. White guy. Texas Ranger.
Whoa. Chuck Norris?
Yeah, kill him second. Same issue. We're impersonating a kung fu expert.
But Chuck Norris is.
I know, but...
Well, he's never impersonated an Asian.
I know. He's him that. He did allow his butt to get kicked by Bruce Lee.
Here's someone I would like to see assassinated. Lady Elaine.
Lady Elaine Fairchild?
What's a Lady Elaine?
She was in Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. She was the old fat kind of queenie character.
All I remember was,
didn't
meow,
she...
meow, kitty, meow. Oh, there's that too. Miss Kitty.
Didn't she have the bloodshot red alcoholic nose or something?
With King Friday had it too.
King Friday had it too, okay.
Yeah. But King Friday was kind of a ditz too. I didn't like him.
I liked everything about Mr. Rogers except for the puppet thing. That I really disliked, that whole...
So you would send,
hold it against the puppets.
Yeah.
You would send the assassins after Lady Elaine Fairchild.
Yes.
Okay.
Even, I mean, you can't even dream up the names for your own monsters. You have to call them orcs, too. Oh, come on.
Well, his Gandalf figure in his books was named Al-Anon.
That's really irritating. And he actually used the word orcs. Monsters were coming. Ooh, the orcs are coming. And that book didn't even make it a page and a half. That book was about... four sentences and across the room and into the wall it went, and I hope the cats threw up on it, but it's gone now.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm afraid that I'm way, way anti, you know, Bunyans of Shannara. It's all gone.
Okay.
Phew, I feel so much better. This is so liberating.
You know.
Okay.
Now shut up!
Maybe I should leave.
Your work here is done.
Maybe, yeah.
The character Tori Spelling played in 90210, what was her, Donna?
Oh, I never even saw
it. Oh, God, that was TV.
Any of 90210,
so smart. Well, I only started to watch it because I worked with one of the girls in there, in the show. Oh, I put this in backwards, what an idiot.
Oh.
Donna.
Can't remember the character's name.
And any show with some overly cutesy, horrible... child actor.
Silver Spoons.
And what you talking about, Willis thingy, and the little poor child who's always going to look like he's four, and Emmanuel somebody or other, but the whole show, whatever the concept of the shows were, I just...
Zoom had all kids in it.
Come on,
I never watched
Zoom.
Zoom,
Zoom, Zoom.
Now, Sesame
Come
Street
on, Zoom,
was
Zoom,
hit.
Zoom, Zoom, Zoom.
Zoom.
Come on,
was at the same time as like the Banana Splits or something. I could not be having with Zoom.
So I watched the very first broadcast of Sesame Street. I was in kindergarten.
I think I might have seen it. What amazes me is that they still show things now that was on when I watched it as a child.
Yeah.
Lowercase and standing on the hill.
Me and my llama, me and my llama, going to the dentist today.
Okay.
And it's a film, it's a movie on the streets of New York with some very 70s looking child with his bowl page boy haircut leading a llama to the dentist in New York.
Which happens pretty much every day.
Yeah.
Or every other day.
Exactly. At least in New York.
You know.
What was the zip code at the end of... Huh? The zip code at the end of Zoom, if you wanted to send to them.
02134. Send it to Zoom. Boston, Mass.
Isn't that amazing how you remember that?
Those were the people I work with. I asked all of them, as you heard, pretty much the same question. Probably the most trivial and unimportant question brought up in this whole series. If you can call seven podcasts a series. This being number 8, I should mention something very significant to me about it. This is not something that's all that particularly important to you as a listener, except for the fact that this installment is coming out so late, and that is that it's been nearly impossible to get online, to post, to create, to complete, like the running nightmare. Where you're having that dream and you're trying to run as fast as possible away from whatever danger or horror that's threatening you. And of course, you don't budge more than half an inch, if at all. Or you're trying to grasp that thing that's just slightly out of your reach, and you, of course, you never will, because that's the nature of the dream. Struggle madly, desperately. Endure the rage you feel at your own helplessness to complete a task or attain something. I have not been able to post this podcast since Wednesday. It's Saturday night. One circumstance after another. One tiny little grain of sand in the wheels after another. One little piece of broken glass left on the floor when you just happened that one morning not to be wearing anything on your feet. After another. And no, nothing like that actually happened this week. It's just a... So I'm a bit disappointed. I'm not 100% satisfied with the quality of this week's IDDFOS audio offering. And it's going to go up anyway. We will not have quality this week. We will have brevity. And we will have a request to you. If you would, email anim5@anim5.com with your detested character from fiction, even if it was selected already in one of the clips that you heard earlier. And we will, of course, read it on the show. And now, a selection of music to close with. On the opposite side of it, I'll simply say my goodbyes, and I hope you enjoy this piece.
Thank you. I shall. I drift and sip from ass to ass. There must be all the slimer who could tell where she could be. I miss, I quit, I quit, miss, miss, miss,
like that tune. Once again, I thank you for listening. I sincerely hope that circumstances are far more favorable for posting episode 9. This one has been trying to get out of a locked steel cage across a dilapidated rope bridge, slogging through a swamp of quicksand and leaping for the barge and missing, just as it pulls away from the dock. But here, now, eventually, finally, it makes it onto the internet. All the while, of course, being shot at with any manner of projectile weapon. Perforated as it is, filthy, somewhat reeking, it is posted. It seems to me, after listening to my little whine here about how difficult it was to get this post up, I completely forgot to thank all those people that answered the question. It seems to me I gave them short shrift. While I may not be 100% happy with how late and how brief and how trivial this particular installment is, what I am extremely happy with are the wonderful answers that I got from the folks I work with, who were very patient and wonderfully forthcoming with their memories and their willingness to drag out those pop culture demons that dwelled in their childhood media experiences. I thank them all very much, and it was a great deal of fun gathering that information. I work with a very unique and wonderful group of people, and I'm sure that caliber and quality of individual can be found outside the arts, but there are certainly a large number of them working in theater. To all of them, I bow in thanks. Next week, of course, well, in the next episode, I will explain why the podcast is called International Detective Dragons from Outer Space. But in the meantime, I hope all goes well for you, and best of days.